Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. In Odyssey Station, it's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Live local and a triple play combination today. You don't get that on holidays. Of course, Dan is with me today. And our weekend co-host, Matt Rooney, is also joining us from an undisclosed location that might or might not be a nursery. Welcome in, Matt. Are you broadcasting from the nursery today, the big room there?
I am broadcasting from the nursery. We checked. Producer Dan came over. We put a lot of effort into figuring out which room was the best for acoustics. Lo and behold, it's my kid's nursery. So he's been evicted. He's got to go nap somewhere else.
All right, that works.
Duty calls. Yes.
Right, I mean, should have been up and out of the house by 8 o'clock today. Get to how old is your baby?
He's almost 2. He could be mowing the lawn.
My God.
He could be making breakfast. I mean, come on.
Yes, New Jersey. Let me check the New Jersey child labor laws on Memorial Day. Absolutely, he could be. You know, I need some edging. That's the one thing around here that we always talk about. So if he's skilled in that, there you go. All right. So Matt will be with us throughout the morning co-hosting as he does on weekends. And Dan, of course, is the triple play part here. One thing that I've been waiting, even though it's a holiday, even though there are a bunch of other things, this is a rare moment, or could be a rare moment. Now, I know to be in Twitter, you just have to be cynical, run anything down. My God, it just never ends. Is there any hope that Republicans have finally turned a corner? They did a good job at quarterbacking, stopping Governor Wolf Manhack from continuing what he was doing. May 18th, the primary election, 139,000 plus vote edge. So now they're taking on the real belly of the beast. I mean, this is Dante's ninth circle of hell, taking on the Philadelphia Democrats who run elections. All right. And they were in their glory in this last election. You're not going to tell them what to do. This is why so many of them go to jail. In Philadelphia, as long as you're okay with the other Democrat chieftains, they think they can do anything they want. So the dispute is this. In 2020, even the rogue Pennsylvania Supreme Court said that this is a one-time thing here with the mail-in ballot because of the pandemic. And you must, in the future, follow the law. Part of the law is these mail-in ballots have to be dated. So 1,300 of them were not. And this Lisa Dealey and this Omar Sabir, they say, we don't care. We're here to make sure people can vote. No, you're there to make sure we can vote legally. They're saying that. They don't care. Really what they're saying, we're Philadelphia, buddy. Take off. We don't care what these podunk Republicans in other parts of the state. So the Republicans were told were planning on dropping this tomorrow, but they did it on Friday because it was starting to leak out. We had it. We talked about it on Saturday. You heard it with Matt and me. The bottom line is this. If these Republicans backpedal at this point, they will never have a chance to do anything. And you can say, this seems like a small matter. No, no, it's not about the 1,300 votes. That doesn't have anything to do with the elections. This is once and for all somebody taking on this probably arguably the two or three most arrogant bodies of officials in the entire world. That would be the people that run Philadelphia. The woman who heads up the election commission is lost, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. Her notary public for life. And Matt, who knows a little bit more about these things, told me the last time around, boy, that's pretty shocking for life because of her annex in a case involving a husband trying to cheat his wife out of benefits and coming in with the girlfriend, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. Amazing. And she's the one that heads up and makes us believe perceptually these elections are above board. So this is a big, big moment. Dan is trying to get on the Republicans tomorrow to break it down for you. Don't give up your cynicism for a moment. They did bring it up. They threatened impeachment. Now, they may not win on that because you have to convince some Democrats. And Matt, you're in the more horrible position. Well, I don't know. Philadelphia versus Jersey. The odds are not good. Put on your political pundit hat, though. What would be the good if they can't impeach them ultimately of going through with it?
Well, you're definitely right, Dom, about more than one thing, but specifically, New Jersey is in a more horrible position. We're a one-party state over here. Murphy is still king. This morning when I woke up, everybody still had to not just salute the flag, but also pray for the health of our God Emperor. And we also have Democrats in charge of both houses of the legislature. So to be a Republican in Trenton, your first challenge is to even be seen. Pennsylvania, less of an excuse. They actually do have some power. They have some authority. And we talked about it on Saturday, Dom. Weakness invites bad behavior. So I know that when I've argued with Republicans on my side of the river in the past, the excuse is always a familiar one. Oh, Matt, we don't have the numbers. We're not going to be able to make this happen. We need X number of Democrats. What's the point? Well, the point is that ultimately we have elections. And when you have an election, you need to go to the voters and say, there's a reason to vote for me and my side, and there's a reason why the other side and that candidate does not deserve to hold the reins of power. This is a perfect opportunity to make these Democrats. And, you know, I don't know the legislative map in PA as well as you do, Dom, but I'm willing to bet at least a couple of these Democrats that are going to have to cast tough votes here are vulnerable. They're in districts that could easily go either way. Make them cast a tough vote. That's what democracy is all about. Make them put their cards on the table. Don't let them hide from the people. Make them tell the people where they stand on the integrity of our electoral process.
Yeah, and we see that in the news today in Texas. They passed some common sense laws to bring us back to what we how we used to vote. So the legislature there, they don't do this in Jersey. They don't have to. They ran away. That's what they do in Texas. The Democrats run away. They have to send the state cops out to get them again, to bring them back in a special session to vote on this. They got to track them down and escort them back. They're runaways. I mean, you know, I don't know that. Democrats in Philadelphia would never do that. They're not runaways. They're standing there on Broad Street, you know, saying, come on, it's the OK Corral here. We don't care what you do. We know you're punks, you Republicans. This is Philadelphia. It's not part of the United States. We determine what goes on here. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this. They're not going to comply. In a million years, they're not going to comply. They think they have the upper hand. They're going to tell people, we're protecting votes. Republicans don't want you to vote, even though this is blatant, just blatant. So when we get them on, when Dan gets the Republicans on, we're going to say, you got to follow through. You must impeach them. And I would start this right now. What's the formality? They've said they're not going to do it. Start the impeachment proceedings this week. You have the votes in the House. Vote tomorrow to do it. Then move on to the Senate. You need two-thirds there. Let's see what happens. Ratchet up the pressure. Make this the battle. Their arrogance shows through. All right, Matt, what else do you have today? What are you in the mood for on Memorial Day?
Well, I'd add this too, Dom, about your last point before we move on. That's why they're there. right?
Yes.
We don't elect you. I don't know if you give vanity license plates out to legislators in Pennsylvania. I don't know. But they love them over here in New Jersey. They love their vanity license plates. You're not there to get a vanity license plate. You're there to serve, and you're there to defend the Constitution and to make sure that Harrisburg works and Philadelphia works. And if you're not going to do that job, then I'm quite frankly not sure why you're there. I'd much rather be at the beach this weekend than whatever you have to do if you're a legislator.
Look, I give them a lot of credit. I think too often in talk radio, Matt, it's easy to be a hack and just always attack. When they're doing the right thing, we want to encourage them. Now, I realize that this is fraught, that the math doesn't look like it'll end up. How will it look if they go to the Senate and they lose by a vote or two? I'm fine with that. Because, again, this plays out into the next election cycle, and it's going to damage them because they're going to say and do more things. Who knows? Maybe the federal government would get involved because the reigning person here that took McSwain's seat is still active on stuff. I realize you have Joe Biden, you have all that. But these things, when you obstruct, they have a way of coming back and biting you. And people do go to jail on this stuff.
They do. It happens in New Jersey from time to time. And speaking of Joe Biden, beautiful little segue there. It is Memorial Day. It is Memorial Day. And I promise you folks, there is a tie-in. Part of the reason I think Democrats in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania generally, and also here in New Jersey, think they can get away with this stuff, why they feel as if they can act with impunity, is because they have a media that is constantly covering for them. It's amazing what you can get away with if you have that little D at the end of your name versus an R, an I, or any other letter from the alphabet. And I was struck by this, Dom and Dan, and I'm suspect you saw it. Over the weekend, we got a tweet from the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, not talking about the sacrifice of our men and women over the course of many years who paid the ultimate price to protect our freedoms, not wishing everybody a safe holiday and thanking them for their sacrifices. We got a glamour shot from Kamala Harris with a tweet saying, "Have a nice long weekend."
Yes.
This is how Kamala Harris kicked off her weekend, because everyone is a bureaucrat that gets a three-day holiday weekend. I know that my wife's actually working this morning. She works in a hospital. I'm sure many of you
are. You got the wife out working. You got the kid doing the lawn. What the heck's going on over there? Goodness.
Well, absolutely. It's only a matter of time before the Department of Labor comes knocking, Tom. I realize that. That's why I'm hiding in the nursery. This is why we have grandparents, though. Any parent listening knows that. If it wasn't for grandparents, I don't know how the world would work. But Kamala Harris, this is the world that she inhabits. And I think a lot of people, particularly in the conservative media sphere, were attacking her for not mentioning Memorial Day, which it is obnoxious. You know, this isn't just a long weekend, and we're going to talk more about this today. It's a weekend where, yes, we barbecue. Yes, we go to the beach when it's not pouring buckets of rain. But we remember our men and women who died defending this country, mostly overseas, to make sure that we have the freedoms we enjoy every day, whether it's to go outside, proclaim the opinions we want on Twitter, or whether it's for Dom and Dan and I to come on here and rant about things that are important to us without fear. Okay? But I also think it's obnoxious because, again, not everybody has a three-day paid holiday like Kamala Harris and the occupants of these grand marble buildings down in Washington, D.C., but that's her worldview, right? It tells you a little something about her and the fact that she's a megalomaniac, that she thinks we want to see this weird profile glamour shot of her before we begin our long weekend. I thought that was the strangest part of the entire affair.
Do you guys think it was a political misstep, or do you think it was a nefarious kind of like a, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod to my anti-military defund the police crowd?
No, it's a misstep. Such a bubble. I don't even think, Matt, that Kamala Harris would make that kind of play, really. That's a lot to imagine.
I think that this is who she is. I think she likes looking at pictures of herself, and she likes other people looking at pictures of her.
Exactly. Well, look at where it's got her. Willie Brown advances her there, and then she advances here, even though she never got out of the starting gate on the Democrat side.
Isn't it amazing that she didn't get a single delegate in the Democrat primary? Absolutely blows my mind with tweets like this.
Yeah, wouldn't you think that Klobuchar, who does have some substance other than the shaving her legs by assistants while she's on the phone, and Elizabeth Warren, some of these every time it comes up, Elizabeth Warren and some of these others, you know, I realize in politics you got to fall on the sword. That's the way it goes here. But that they never, that they are disciplined. They say, look, we're quality women. Thank you. Yeah, anytime Klobuchar comes up. How about eating the salad with the comb, too? That's another, yeah.
I was debating whether or not to eat breakfast before we did this today, and now I'm deeply,
the
deeply
shaving
regretting
of the,
it.
Oh, she's well-groomed. I mean, come on now, you know. So, Matt, we have more on that, too, and we have Joe Biden, I believe, too. We talked before the show. Joe Biden going to Delaware and memorializing his son, who did serve in the military and apparently was a good guy. Sadly died at a young age of brain cancer. But there's something behind that that's a little bit off, too.
There is. And I want to be very, very clear about this. Like you said, Dom, by all accounts, don't know him. But Bo Biden was a great guy and a good American, served his country. No one that knew him had much bad to say about him. And, you know, you don't have to be a parent, but especially if you are a parent, losing a child, it's the unthinkable, right? Even the prospect of it, the hypothetical, is enough to make most parents' hair stand on end. But, you know, I think the story coming out of Joe Biden's speech in Delaware isn't the speech itself, which, you know, God love our commander-in-chief, but usually when he speaks, interesting things happen and syllables get mangled, and that ends up being the story.
Give me a break, gosh almighty.
Come on, man. Come on. Today, it was how it was covered. There's an Associated Press article, folks, by Jonathan Lemire out today. And, you know, I know if you're like me, you try to avoid the Associated Press like the plague. But every now and then, it still crops up in your news feed, and you just feel that impulse to click it and see how far it's devolved. This article, and I'm starting with the second paragraph here, as cold rain fell, Biden made his annual appearance at the commemoration in Newcastle, not far from his Wilmington home, a day before he planned to do the same at Arlington National Cemetery on the official observance. The death of his son from brain cancer at age 46 is ever present for the elder Biden, with the loss defining so much of his worldview, dotting his speeches, and stirring his empathy for others in pain. No, I did not read you an essay or a poem written by a college Democrat at the University of Pennsylvania, folks. That's an actual AP article written by, I'm assuming, an adult. I don't know how old Jonathan Lemire is, but I'm assuming he or she, or I don't even want to gender them. I know we're not supposed to do that in 2021. I don't know if Zerg drives or whatever, but I'm assuming it's an adult. And they actually wrote this. Two problems. First, yes, your ears aren't deceiving you. It looks like something that was written in North Korea about the dictator there. I mean, who writes this in a serious news publication about any elected official? But secondly, and again, no offense is intended to the memory of Bo Biden. Bo Biden died in his late 40s of brain cancer. Memorial Day, and I know this is a pet peeve for many of your listeners out there, Dom, is not for all veterans. It's not for all Americans. It's not for Democrat presidents that the AP wants to present in the most positive possible light. It's remembering a very specific section of our American population, a very small and elite group, those that went and died defending this country in our various conflicts and wars around the world. No one else. So the AP, congratulations, they actually managed to offend everyone on two levels today. One, because they're continuing their propaganda, which some wondered maybe if they would revert back to just being biased as opposed to actual propagandists after Trump lost the election. Well, if you had any doubt, read this article. Now you know. They intend to continue to run cover for the Biden-Harris administration. But they've also disrespected all of those families out there today, some of whom I'm sure are listening to this broadcast, who lost loved ones in Iraq, in Afghanistan. All to what? To shore up a Democrat president? You can't draw any other conclusion, and it's a dark conclusion. And I think it says something awfully sad about where we are as a country. I mentioned at the beginning of today, the way I always look at Memorial Day, Dom, those men and women that went out there and died, they make it possible for us to do what we do. Many of our rights, the ability to vote, the ability to move, the ability to express our opinions, but also for folks in the media and talking heads such as ourselves to challenge those in authority. So I take it very seriously, extremely seriously, for the AP to treat that right and to treat those men and women with this kind of contempt. And that's what it is. It actually, you can't see me right now, Dom, but the blood is rushing up into my head. It really burns me up. So shame on the Associated Press.
Absolutely. All right, Matt Rooney with Dom today, co-hosting with us. Dan here also. Of course, even though it's a holiday, live and local, we have the side question of the day. Give us that patriotic film. Maybe it's one you watched over the weekend recently. I usually say Saving Private Ryan. I said it the other day. But I remember the reaction in the movie theater, cold day. This was released in 2014, so it's 7 years ago. American Sniper. Ro and I saw it after a kind of a Tea Party rally event, and people stood at the end when you saw the funeral go by for American Sniper, played by Bradley Cooper. We did with Taya Kyle the speaker series, and she came to the Feast of the Seven Fishes also. So let's start with Dan, who's yours?
Well, I don't want to take Matt's, I feel bad, but I'm going to take the one that's been number one on Twitter. I posted this up on Twitter, the side question, as we always do. And the three right out of the gate, Mel Gibson's Patriot, R.H. writes in The Patriot, and that wraps up today's side question for today. It's an okay movie. I mean, it's decent, but I'm going to take it off the board because it's the obvious answer. You say patriotic movie,
yes.
Someone just says Patriot, so that's off.
Okay.
Matt?
That's off. Matt, how about yours?
You were even close to taking mine, Dan, because it's not what a lot of people are going to throw out there. The 1993 film Gettysburg.
Ooh.
One of my all-time favorites. I've always been a Civil War nerd. I've got Lincoln hanging in my office, my home office. The movie Gettysburg, Jeff Daniels played Joshua Chamberlain, the hero of the battle. Martin Sheen, not always the biggest Martin Sheen fan, but he did a good job as Robert E. Lee. Stephen Lang as George Pickett. It's an epic movie. And when I say epic, I don't mean in the way millennials use it. I mean in the traditional sense, that there's actually an intermission in the middle of the movie. So it's a commitment.
It's super
But
long.
It is stirring. And it makes you appreciate, especially in 2021 when we're constantly hearing about how terrible our country is and we're hearing about institutional racism, this, that, and the other. It really makes you focus on the fact that there's a lot of Americans ever since the Civil War, but certainly during the time of the Civil War, who sacrificed to make this a better country for all Americans. So I really enjoy the heck out of that one. I'm going to try to get to it at some point today.
You
don't know if it's going
to
happen.
Guess as to how long the movie is?
Oh, it's got to be at least 250 minutes.
I don't know how that translates.
Oh,
it's four hours and 31 minutes long.
Oh, my God. All right, bring the popcorn. All right, so that's the side question today. You can get in at 855-839-1210. At the end of your call, hit us with that film. We have Gettysburg, American Sniper, and The Patriot taken off the board. You got to come up. There's 100 of them or more, thank God. Might be a little bit outside the box here. 855-839-1210. Your calls are next with Dom and Dan and Matt here on Memorial Day.
Next time you walk into a room and you're not sure why you're there,
just tell your smart speaker to play WPHD.
To a little bit of chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio world, but like to see the sunrise.
I love it. See the love and my Welcome back, 1210 WPHT. And this is Matt Rooney co-hosting on the Dom Giordano program on this thankfully sunny Memorial Day. I didn't think we'd see the sun again after the weekend.
Turned out pretty nice,
had.
Huh?
Yeah, not bad. Hey, by the way, Matt, Kamala Harris, at least Morning Joe today, says, I eat no for breakfast. So take that with all your criticism.
How do you eat a word?
Ooh. Yeah, that's a comment.
Wait, did she see it?
We don't know what she eats for lunch, though. That's
she
up in the air.
She eats no for breakfast?
She eats no. You'll see it on Gravy and Dan. I eat no for breakfast. So many times during my career, oh, you're too young. It's not your turn. They're not ready for you. No one like you has done it before. I've heard all this. And I would encourage anyone that's been told that, whatever the gender, to not listen, because don't be encumbered by the inability of others to see the potential of who you are. I eat no for breakfast.
She's like one of those walking, talking, inspirational calendars she's hanging in the co-worker's cubby. It's just one inspirational quote after another, no substance, pretty professional picture. And that's about it.
I really wanted to exert as little amount of effort as possible today, Dom, but this is one that I might have to go track down for you because...
Thank you. Thank you for... It's with Mika, too, who says, I eat no, too. Let's have breakfast.
I should have it here in the next 10 seconds or so.
Okay. All right. We'll hear this in full. Right. I eat no for breakfast. You know, at least you have to succeed by winning an election, not being chosen just because of all these identifying characteristics, you would think, but apparently not.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess the best we can say is at some point Kamala's going to enjoy that long weekend that she was tweeting about and leave us all alone for at least a few minutes.
All right. Yes.
So that we can get back to barbecuing.
Yes.
All right, let's see how this sounds.
Good goodness.
All right, here we go.
Well, yeah, let's...
Workers back on track, particularly women. She also shared her advice to women embarking on a career. This is what she tells those she mentors.
I eat no for breakfast. Mm-hmm. So have I been told many times during my career things from, you're too young, it's not your turn, they're not ready for you, no one like you has done it before. I've heard all of those things many times over the course of my career, but I didn't listen. And I would encourage anyone who's been told that, whatever their gender, to not listen, because again, don't be encumbered by the inability of others to see the potential of who you are.
I eat no for breakfast. I didn't listen. This sounds very male and successful.
It's really important to recognize the limitations that other people have based on their expectations and to not impose that on oneself.
Okay. They didn't say we're not ready for you or whatever. They're saying, what? We don't want to vote for you.
I cut that off too early, guys. Hold on. I want Joe's reaction here. Joe Scott. Yeah.
Our expectations and to not impose that on oneself.
Okay, let's see here. The egg McMuffin. I got to cross that out.
When you've lost Joe Scarborough.
Yeah, he recently has been going off the Joe reservation, Matt. I say this as a guy who filled in for him more than he did his own show. Just a Dom Giordano trivia point.
Just a little shade there, Joe Scarborough. Now, I'm not saying I don't like it, Dom, but, I think it's an important insight, though, right? Because we're joking about Joe Scarborough, but that's how these people work, folks. Now that there is a Democrat administration, Joe has to now pivot back to the prior role that he was playing at MSNBC, which is the guy that every now and then says something that's Republican or kind of sort of conservative, to give those viewers a contrast. And I think Kamala Harris is stuck in playing whatever character is that she's playing. I really do think that's what this is. She's a walking, talking meme. That's her role in this administration. And that's what she's keeping up with today. What does any of what she just said have to do with Memorial Day weekend? I couldn't tell you. But I feel dumber from having heard it.
Any ideas what no might taste like?
Yes, exactly.
Apparently it tastes bitter. Because she sounds so bitter, despite the fact that she's the vice president of the United States.
God.
It's a good one, man.
It's without a vote. Without a vote being cast for her. Yep.
Yeah.
While Kamala out there doing her thing and finding memes on the internet that she can parrot on MSNBC, your kid is probably bouncing off the walls because it is almost time for summer. And I suspect a lot of you are sending your kid to a summer camp. And they're probably excited about it. But what they may not realize is that even though adults in New Jersey are no longer wearing their masks, that happened on Friday, or at least we're allowed to not wear our masks anymore. Maybe a little bit more about that later. Kids in the Garden State still have to be masked if they're at summer camp in almost all situations. But where's the science for this? You're asking that question, you clearly have never heard of Phil Murphy or followed anything that this man has done over the course of the past year and a half. But there's a twist to this story, which is delicious to me, because I like when bad people fail or get a little egg on their face or end up being Charlie Brown and Lucy pulls the football out from under them. On Friday, we found out that the CDC, which up until a couple months ago was to the left what the Vatican is to cap. If the CDC says something, you need to do it, or at least have a darn good reason not to do it, or at least feel bad if you're not listening. The CDC said, well, you know what? Summer camps, kids don't need to be masked in most situations. So once again, Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, has found himself on the outs with quote-unquote science. It happened not all that long ago. He told us a couple weeks ago that masks weren't going anywhere in the Garden State. We're just not there yet, which is one of his favorite expressions. Mm-hmm. We don't know what that means because he never tells us the scientific basis for any of this stuff. But he said we're not quite there yet. Then the CDC sandbagged him and said, you know what? We're there. We don't need to wear masks anymore in those situations. And Phil was forced to play catch up. So, you know, it's funny to me, Dom, to watch him kind of flap in the wind
right,
as the people that set the science continue to change the goalposts. And Phil has to make a political calculation whether or not he follows it so he can maintain his credibility in a reelection year and show people that he's following the science and that he's being reasonable, et cetera, and so on. Or is he going to continue to cater to a very small but growing section of the electorate in his party that still wants to wear 15 masks in the supermarket? And I got to tell you, I saw a couple of these people yesterday. They weren't literally wearing 15 masks, but they were still double and triple wrapping their mouths and giving me a lot of dirty looks as I was in Trader Joe's trying to buy some frozen appetizers for my barbecue.
Stay woke!
When I say dirty looks.
All right.
It was brutal.
We'll get to that coming up. And don't forget the side question of the day, patriotic movie. Hit us with your favorite. Dom and Matt and Dan, 855-839-1210, here on Talk Radio 1210. You make me smile.
Back on 1210 AM WPHT. This is Matt Rooney with Dom Giordano on Memorial Day. Glad to have you with us. If you want to call us and talk to us and get in on this conversation, you can. 855-839-1210. Want to know what's on your mind? Also want to hear your favorite patriotic movie. Tom and Marlton, you're on 1210 WPHT. Good morning, sir, and happy Memorial Day.
Good morning, and happy Memorial Day. Yeah, I am on my way to see my father-in-law, who is a 95-year-old Navy veteran of World War II.
95 years old. How's he doing?
He's fantastic. He still drives yet and goes to the Y and swims and everything.
Oh, God bless him. Have you had a lot of opportunities to see him over the past year?
Yeah, we get down there maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
No, that's fantastic. Well, you have to give him our best, especially on Memorial Day. And what's his favorite patriotic movie?
Well, Private Ryan's right up there, but I think Sands of Iwo Jima, when they raise the flag there at the end, that's pretty good stuff.
That's a winner. That's one that makes the hair stand on end. It really does. It definitely is on my top 10 list. Tom, thanks for your call.
Sorry about that.
You know, I forgot one of my favorites too. I've got too many.
What do you got?
1776. This is a controversial one. Mm. The musical. Have you ever heard it, Dan?
The musical, not the one with Mr. Feeny.
This is the one with Mr. Feeny.
Mr. Feeny one a musical?
Oh God.
Yeah, you know what it is. You're right.
Yeah, so wow. For any kid of the 90s, Mr. Feeny of Boy Meets World is the title character. He plays John Adams, And a lot of people don't like it because they think that the Founding Fathers dancing around and singing is a little bit corny, but it's masterful. It's really potent. And, you know, it's much shorter than Gettysburg. So if you don't have the time to commit to the full Matt Rooney experience and watch a 4.5-hour movie on Memorial Day, you can start with 1776 and then work up to it.
Hey, I gotta ask you, 1776 and Gettysburg were both films that I watched in school growing up. One, do you think they're still teaching those films in school with everything that's going on with all the cancel culture, Dom? And two, well, first that one, Dom, do you think that's still being taught as it should be or no?
No, I don't think so at all. And there's not enough time with all the celebrations of all kinds of non-essential items. We don't have enough time to be doing that. By the way, one school-related thing I have to throw in there, and we'll get to it on the podcast, etc. Baltimore is now weaponizing COVID to say no one fails this year. Now, the city of Baltimore, I was watching The Wire again a little bit last night, dip back into the very beginning. Look, I get it how tough it is. But no failure, and particularly along racial lines, the head person in Baltimore schools wouldn't be fair. Everybody passes to the next year. It's endless, and I kind of think it's like the National Democrat Party. Well, why fail anybody anyhow? What difference does it make?
And ultimately, and I think this is what gets lost in the conversation, are we doing right by the children? The leftists that promote these types of policies want to talk about fairness. Mm-hmm. Well, some of these kids come from a disadvantaged background. Maybe mom or dad or both mom and dad aren't in the home. How can we expect them to succeed at a different level? Well, it's the subtle bigotry of low expectations, right? And at some point, this kid's going to have to leave the classroom and he or she is going to work for an employer that's not going to say, hey, you know what, I know you completely messed up that project or sent the client the wrong project, but hey, you know what, because you had a rough background, we're going to kind of let this one go. It doesn't happen, boys and girls. Doesn't
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're 100% correct, Dom, and I know that if there's any New Jersey teachers listening out there, they can definitely speak to this, even though this policy's not as pronounced in different states. Maybe not as much as in Baltimore. It's very hard to leave a child back in 2021. They've made sure in the public schools that you almost always have to promote a kid. And if you don't, the amount of paperwork you have to fill out, the amount of meetings you have to have, it's completely onerous because, again, we're now guided by this completely subjective idea of fairness, how much it's going to hurt someone's feelings or make them feel, or damage their self-esteem if they have to repeat a grade. But are we focusing at all on whether or not we're making these kids good citizens that can actually go out in the world and get a job and accomplish something? Just something else to think about on Memorial Day weekend, I suppose. But, you know, the National Education Association certainly isn't helping this situation. The teachers' unions certainly aren't helping this situation. I think we need to hear this clip, Dan. Clip number two, National Education Association working on firing teachers who don't adopt anti-racist dogma. This is going to make your blood boil. Listen to
Catherine Watkins, eighth grade humanities teacher at Cedar Park Middle School, and my pronouns are she, her, we, and us. I'm going to say something that's not nice and not sweet, but it's true. If you're not evolving into an anti-racist educator, you're making yourself obsolete in this field of profession. Our district is only getting browner and browner with our children. And so if, you know, obviously you can't change your melanin, all right? But you can change your mind so that you can actually function in a district that is full of BIPOC children. So if you're being resistant, I understand that, but you're going to have to eventually come to the light, because if you're going to keep with those old views of colonialism, it's going to lead to being fired, because you're going to be doing damage to our children, trauma. And so as we fire the teachers who sexually abuse our children, we will be firing the teachers who do racist things to our children traumatize them. And while our district might not be completely on there, OEA is working on it. All right. NEA is working on it. And so it's just a matter of time. So it's like you either evolve or dissolve. You've got to start walking with us.
Education system in 2021, folks. No Saving Private Ryan. Critical race theory. I have a feeling you have an opinion about this, folks. So we will be back in a minute to talk about that and more on 1210 WPHT. Don't go anywhere.
Virginville to Wilmington.
This is Dom Giordano.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Oh, I think that I found myself a cheerleader. She is always right there when I need her.
And we are back on 1210 WPHT. Matt Rooney with Dom Giordano. Hope you're enjoying your Memorial Day, and I'm honored that you're choosing to spend a little bit of it with us. Give us a shout. Let us know what you're up to. Let us know your favorite patriotic movie, 855-839-1210. If you're anything like me, too, the chicken is probably marinating. You're not ready to heat the grill up yet, but you probably have an epic barbecue performance coming up at some point a little later this afternoon.
I don't mean to take us off track here, Matt, but I got to ask the Dom Giordano tonight. No chicken, no steak, no burgers, no hot dogs. What are you doing for dinner?
Oh, it's a post-birthday celebration. Even though we had one dinner, now it's another one because everybody can make that there. So I'm not sure. Whatever they have at Redstone or a place like that, Dan, will be on the menu.
Probably some good salmon, right?
Yeah, I usually don't get it when I get there. I eat enough during the week. So.
And Matt, you're having a cookout tonight?
We're having a cookout tonight. No tofu dogs. No plant-based burgers. Red meat. Lots of dead cow. Sausage. And I think I'm going to throw some chicken on. I have it marinating right now. I had some excellent wings yesterday. My cholesterol is through the roof after this
week. You can put some fish on the Barbie there or a blooming onion. Come on.
I hate to waste even more time on your Memorial Day, but I got to ask, if you were to invite Dom to a cookout, and I guess I can ask the listeners this, and a vegan or a vegetarian or a pescatarian was coming to the cookout, would you create a menu specifically for said friend?
I would, but I wouldn't put a lot of effort into it.
Oh, thanks a lot.
So I'd put...
What's the effort? You put a piece of fish there or something. Come on.
I'd probably put a little bit of lettuce on a plate.
You're not thinking this through, though, Dom. You think it's a little bit of effort, but Matt gets his meat from a butcher shop. So to appeal to you, he would have to go to a fish market or the supermarket to get some fish, or he would have to go to produce.
All right, and get listen, I can eat some chicken if it's there. I would do that. That's no problem.
Well, that's a team player, man.
I have to be honest about this too, though, Dom and Dan. Some of it's maybe a little bit of an inferiority complex on my part. I'm not good at fish. I don't do a great job of cooking seafood. I want to get better. Grilling, I think, is easy. It comes second nature to me. But I would be embarrassed because whatever I gave Dom would probably have the consistency of shoe leather by the time I was done with it. I don't do fish.
Well, Dan's in charge of my traveling menu, so you'd have to conform and you'd have to agree to it and make sure the room temperature is okay. It's a Bernie Sanders-like thing.
So if Dom comes to my house for a barbecue, Dan, it's like a state visit. You reach
out
in advance.
Yes, Dan has to do
protocol.
All the things. Yes.
You actually need a helicopter landing pad if you expect Dom.
Right. Well, we'll send you the wine list, you know, all that.
All right. Well, I mean, now I'm a little bit nervous. I wasn't before. This is a lot more work than I was planning on. Jeez.
Well,
wow.
Dan handles that. DJ has final approval. You don't want to get to DJ's level. You gotta please, Dan. That's enough.
Dan, what are you cooking today?
No. We're probably gonna order from somewhere. I don't know.
You're gonna order on Memorial Day.
Yeah, we'll put it up to somebody else.
He's helping Americans work. Yeah, that's right. Yes.
I'm working myself.
You're right.
Come on,
yeah,
guys.
That's right.
Like, come on. I'm not gonna go home and cook now. It's too much work for one day.
You're right. You're helping one of our great Delaware Valley small businesses that's probably was closed for a good portion of 2020. I rescind my criticism, Dan. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that's like a first. That
great,
don't they have butchers in Port Richmond, Dan? Come on. You were the one
really
attacking
great
me.
Local business by Mr. McDonald called McDonald's. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very, very great local business.
You're ordering McDonald's on Memorial Day?
Well, you know, maybe we want burgers. You never know.
All right. I got to change the topic here. I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore, folks. I just can't do it. Back to the other side of the break. We played you a clip, and I hope you heard it. And I'm sure it made your head explode like it made my head explode. But it's something that we already instinctively know. And I actually got some tweets while we were on the break with teachers who have reached out to me and said, you know, you have no idea, Matt, the pressure we're under right now in schools to conform to this woke critical race theory curriculum that they're teaching us. And there is pressure on teachers to either conform or find a new profession. In New Jersey, we actually have some mandates coming down from Trenton that is going to add some of this. It's going to be compulsory, a part of the curriculum. And if you're a teacher and you're not down with it, I think in the coming years, it's not going to be a surprise if you end up getting written up. And what a sad indictment heading into Memorial Day 2021, right? As this day dawns and we get together to celebrate, but also remember those who died for our freedom, that we live in a country where the next generation that's going to be called upon to protect our freedoms is having this drivel pounded into their head on a daily basis. And, you know, I'm even going to go a step further, folks, because I'm a free market guy. I don't mind, Dom, if my kids find out what critical race theory is. I'm fine if it's being taught, hey, this is something that people believe. I am not okay with my child going to a public school and being told that this is the only acceptable thing to believe. And if that's not what you end up writing in the essay on your test, you're not only not going to get a good grade, but you probably are going to get a trip to the principal's office and your parents are probably going to get called. And, you know, God, goodness, it's probably not too long before we're all going to get called into some kind of sensitivity training. I mean, is that what your grandfather went and fought and died for in World War II, folks? For this?
All right, big 10 o'clock hour coming up with Matt and Dom and Dan. And the side question, that great patriotic film you would encourage people to see today, 855-839-1210. 10 o'clock hour coming up on Talk Radio 1210.
Station. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Welcome back, Delaware Valley, and happy Memorial Day. This is Matt Rooney on 1210 WPHT. And the sun is out. It's looking great out there, much better than it did the last couple of days. And I am here with, of course, producer Dan, and the one and only legendary Dom Giordano. Dom, how are you doing today, sir?
Very well, Matt. Here in the Dom Dome, we might be going into the sunroom pretty soon. I see the deck chairs and all are being put out, so that signals some sun today. Hey, Matt, are you a golfer at all?
So my first job as a kid was as a caddy. I caddied for, I guess, maybe 2, 3, 4 summers at Tavistock and Haddonfield, but I am a terrible golfer and I never go. I always could say I can tell someone how to golf better than I can actually do it.
Well, I have newfound admiration even more for Dan, because he might be a terrible golfer to start with, but he's really into it. And that's a good sign.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to propose to you, maybe I'll just do it on air. Usually we do this behind the scenes, but how about maybe a golf thing going forward? Something with the listeners.
The Dom Giordano Open, yes.
Ooh, how about that?
There will not be vaccination requirements for this. There will be...
yeah, right?
There will be a modicum of good behavior expected, et cetera. We've done that before with clients, et cetera, Dan, and I hope to propose that.
I was completely joking, but if we could get something like that going, that'd be... awesome.
Yes, and we have a good charity in mind, I think, around September 11th. So, Matt, you know, you ought to give it another shot. I know it's frustrating, but there's nothing like being out on a golf course with people you're friends with, or, you know, even if it's a business thing, it's an incredible experience.
Well, that's what it is, right? It's not about the good golf, because you don't see a lot of good golf when you go out with your friends. There's always one stud in the pack, but Usually most of us are pretty mediocre. It's about being out in the outdoors, getting some beautiful scenery, maybe having an adult beverage, and just having some fun. I will come to the Dom Giordano Open if it's a best ball.
Okay.
Because then I can't do too much damage. If I'm putting it in the woods, it's not going to hold anybody back. But I, you know, even though you wouldn't know it because I have such strong opinions, I'm actually pretty polite. And I hate holding everyone up, and then we got to let somebody play through because I'm digging through poison ivy to find my third ball. It's just it's a mess.
Matt,
so
if I'm
if
playing,
that's
it's,
the rule.
It's, best it's gonna be best ball if I'm playing it. There's no doubt.
There's much demand to be in Dan's foursome though too. That's one of the big you know.
Yeah, everyone wants
okay,
to be
so,
in last place.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Dan and I will play together. We will tee off from the women's tees, and we will go last. So there's minimal chance that we're going to hold anybody up.
All right. I like it. Now, that says a lot, teeing off from the women's tees. Yes. How long before we get away with this stuff and people think that's discriminatory, the variant of tees? I mean, you have to be unbelievable to play. I think it's usually, well, in some courses, the tees are black and they're like 100 yards back from where normal mortals play. There's the blue tees, the white tees is where we play from. And the women's tees, you're right, way up there. That would be kind of embarrassing.
Well, I'm personally offended that you're even suggesting there should be colors for tees, Dom.
Well, that's true, too. We need new
names. I don't see color when I look at tees.
Yeah, we need new names. And I can imagine how politically correct they would be. The front tees or the novice. They would use something like that, I would assume.
And by the way, folks, this is why I'm so bad at golf, because the entire time I'm out there, I'm thinking of this kind of stuff instead of focusing on the actual game. So maybe we just identified my problem, Dom.
No, there's a lot of etiquette associated with golf. And if you caddied at Tavistock, what is it, population of 7 people or 6? I forget. Boy, that is a good course. Yeah.
And for those that don't know, New Jersey has over 500 municipalities. So we've got all of these towns for a relatively geographically tiny state, certainly compared to Pennsylvania. So you find these little hamlets where maybe you have, you know, a town with 12 people. And Tavistock's story is actually pretty interesting. The reason why it exists is because they wanted to get a liquor license for the golf club, and Haddonfield was dry, the town in which it lies. Mm-hmm. So they had to create this separate juridic entity so that they could serve liquor at the golf course, and it still exists today. I think that there's, you know, sometimes 8 people there, some people times there's 12 people living there. One household moves and the town loses a third of its population. So welcome to the craziness that is New Jersey politics and New Jersey government.
William Wallace to kind of secede from Haddonfield or Haddon Township.
Yes, there were guys in golf carts wearing like blue face paint screaming freedom.
So, Matt, to one other area of interest, too. We asked Rick Romaldi the other day. He's in Stone Harbor, the Catholic Riviera, he calls it. What's the short town for the Rooneys?
The Rooney short town is Sea Isle.
Ah.
Sea Isle. So not too far from Stone Harbor. For those of you that don't know Jersey Shore geography, which if you don't, shame on you, but if you're heading north, Stone Harbor, Avalon, Sea Isle. You go over a little bridge or you take the parkway up and exit, and Seattle's a great little town. And I'll tell you what I love about it, Dom. You have a little bit of everything. Down in the 30s and the 40s, you've got some bars, you've got the college kids, nights to little raucous, but you really have a summer party feel. But then you get a little bit closer to the other end of the island as you near Avalon, and it gets a little bit more quiet, it gets a little bit more family oriented, you have some beautiful houses, you're never too far from the beach, which I think is a major check in Sea Isle's column. Some shore towns, you need a golf cart, whether or not you're golfing, just to get to the beach.
That's a shot at our buddy,
Mayor
Pete Byron in Wildwood. He will have to reply, we'll be headed to Wildwood soon. So is that because of the family? You just drifted there, or you made a choice to go there?
I think it's like everybody else, right? You just have history with a town. I know my mother, she went there when she was in college. I went down there when I was in college. You like what you know. You like what
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
And that's no shade at Wildwood. It's just when I go to Wildwood, Dom, I have to know that I want to have a workout to get to that water line, because I'm a swimmer. I love the water.
Okay.
I got to work right at it.
All right, so what else do we have this Memorial Day with Matt Rooney?
Well, you know, there's never a shortage of things to talk about, Dom, which, you know, is a good, it's a curse, right? Because unfortunately, the reason we have so much to talk about is there's so much craziness in the world. And I want to talk a little bit about low expectations. We were talking a minute ago about low expectations in the education system. Let's talk about low expectations in the Republican Party. Paul Ryan, the former Speaker of the House, who I know is a favorite of many of you out there in the listening audience, he weighed in recently on culture and politics and his opinion on, and I quote, outrage peddlers. Let's go to clip number four.
But as the left gets more woke, the rest of America is getting weary. This stuff is exhausting. And we conservatives have got to be careful not to get caught up in every little cultural battle. Sometimes these skirmishes are just creations of outraged peddlers, detached from reality and not worth anybody's time. They draw attention away from the far more important case we must make to the American people. Culture matters, absolutely, yes. But our party must be defined by more than a tussle over the latest grievance or perceived slight. We must not let them take priority over solutions grounded in principle to improve people's lives. Because politics based on racial or other identity is always a path to deeper and deeper hostility with sad and harmful consequences. And it is precisely the opposite of conservative thought. And we need to be frank.
If you're still awake, and I hope you are, and you got all the way through that Paul Ryan quote, what he's essentially saying is there's people out there that have an incentive to make you angry, and that we have to reject these people so we can have a real conversation. Never say something in 30 words if you can say it in a few, folks. That's a lesson for no matter what you do in life. Paul Ryan always seems to take 40, 50, 60 when a few would do, and unfortunately that was one of his many problems when he was the leader of the Republican Party. But here's the challenge. That's only part of the story. Because in Paul Ryan's universe, and I think this is a view, Dom, shared by many in the Republican establishment, things were apparently pretty rosy and hunky-dory until the age of Twitter and Donald Trump. Before that, they would have you believe we were having this really fantastic, successful, productive conversation in our great American discourse. And that it's only recently that these outrage peddlers have come along that have derailed our ability to come up with some kind of working consensus by talking to each other. We know that that's not true. It's more complicated than that. If you don't want to take my word for it, let's go to another clip. Let's hear from someone who, at least on paper, has the complete opposite worldview of Paul Ryan. Let's hear what Susan Rice had to say.
The president has said, Ambassador, that George Floyd's murder changed the dynamics of race in the U.S. What's changed?
Well, I think a lot of things have changed. Obviously, we don't have this legislation yet, but I think in many parts of our country, from people of all ages, of all races, of all backgrounds, there's a much greater awareness that in some fundamental ways, our system is still not fair. We do not have equal outcomes, whether we're talking about in the realm of criminal justice or in terms of economic justice, in terms of voting rights, civil rights. And we've seen that played out time and again. But the fact that we have greater awareness, we have greater commitment to trying to embrace policies and approaches that recognize that we are all individuals of equal worth and all have dignity. And we deserve, each of us, an opportunity to fulfill our God-given potential. That's what Joe Biden believes. That's what he is governing to achieve. And we've made a very significant progress already working with Congress to put in place important measures that reflect that commitment to equity and to greater justice.
So I could summarize that for you, too. Two folks that they don't have much in common on paper, but they both take 1,000 words to say something that can be easily distilled. She says that America isn't a fair place because we don't make sure that everybody has an equal outcome. Not equal opportunity, which is an uncontroversial concept, or at least it used to be, that everybody's entitled to an equal outcome. Paul Ryan, folks, and folks in the Republican Party that think like Paul Ryan, and they're in the Republican Party in Pennsylvania and in the Republican Party in New Jersey, they just don't get what we're up against. Susan Rice isn't worried about having a civilized, orderly, fair conversation with Paul Ryan or Matt Rooney or Dom Giordano. Susan Rice wants to win this battle for the hearts and minds of the American people. And she and her party and her movement will do whatever it takes to get there. Paul Ryan, not so much. That's why Paul Ryan is now an asterisk in the great American history books. And Susan Rice and her crew are still rolling. And they're out there day by day transforming our media, transforming our schools, doing everything they can, Dom, to make sure that there's going to be a Memorial Day many, many years from now that we're not even going to recognize this country. I guess, well, we may recognize it because we might have giant poster boards of that picture of Kamala she tweeted out hanging everywhere.
Nice.
That's my best guess.
All right, 855-839-1210 is how you get in this Memorial Day. Side question of the day, and we'll put your name in the running, just like the other days for Captain Chuckie's. Hit us with your favorite patriotic film. Got some good ones on Twitter, but you have to call in with it to be in the game. And at the end of this hour, we'll determine the winner today, and away we go. 855-839-1210, you get in here with Dom and Dan and Matt on Talk Radio 1210.
Next time you walk into a room and you're not sure why you're there,
just tell your smart speaker to play WPHD.
I'm the bad guy. Duh.
Welcome back, WPHT 1210, your favorite Philadelphia radio station and mine. This is Matt Rooney here with the Dom Giordano, producer Dan, having some fun on Memorial Day. Give us a shout. Let us know what's going on. Weigh in on what we're talking about. And also tell us your most favorite of all-time patriotic movie, 855-839-1210. One of the things that I think made this Memorial Day a little bit different than some, besides the biblically bad weather that we had almost everywhere in the Delaware Valley, in New Jersey, it was the first full weekend in a while where it wasn't a requirement to wear a mask almost everywhere you went. It ended on Friday for adults. We already talked about kids, unfortunately. That's a different story and a different battle. But I know that I, Dom, probably went to about 7 or 8 different stores over the course of the past 48 hours. And I would say that somewhere in the neighborhood of 90-95% of South Jerseyans, at least in my corner of the state, Camden County, are still wearing their masks, even though I would say maybe only one of those stores I went into was still actively requiring it, telling people to put their masks on. So it's kind of an interesting sociological experiment we're in the middle of here. I know some people have very strong feelings about this topic. I may or may not be one of them. But watching people interact out there, having discussions, hopefully respectful conversations, but sometimes passionate discussions about whether masks still make sense. And also the free market doing its thing, different stores making different decisions. But some of the folks who've been telling us for months, and in some cases a year and a half now, that they believe in science, are still wearing their masks despite the fact that they're not immunocompromised, despite the fact that they've been fully vaccinated, which makes some of their fellow citizens or what. I think good old Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who's now Secretary of Transportation, maybe on CNN gave us a little bit of an insight into why some folks who the science tells us don't need to still be masked still are wearing them around. Take it away, Mayor Pete.
What science is there that says that a fully vaccinated person needs to wear a mask on a plane or a train or a bus?
So the public health guidance is a little bit different for situations like planes and trains. Part of it has to do with the unique conditions of the physical space. Part of it has to do with the conditions of it being a workplace and folks who really don't have a choice about being there the way it is in some other cases. Of course, these rules and regulations and these bodies of guidance always evolve with the science. But the bottom line is we have a set of rules in place to keep people safe. And I really hope that travelers will respect flight attendants, bus operators, workers, anybody who is simply doing their job to keep people safe. You think about what people who work in travel and transportation, think about what they've been through over the course of the last year with their jobs in doubt and with a lot of challenges on the job. And with a record number, at least in recent months, traveling this weekend, let's do it in a way we can be proud of and show respect for all of those workers who are getting us to where we need to be.
So hold up a second. Hold on. Your ears are not deceiving you here. I thought we were supposed to be following science. And by the way, I'm generally down with that. I support it. I know we've talked about this on the Dom Giordano program before, and I've talked about it at my website, Save Jersey. I was down with flattening the curve. That made total sense to me. If I need to get a shot, if I need to wear a mask for a short period of time to keep our hospitals and our healthcare system from being overwhelmed, okay, that's something I'm definitely willing to talk about. Americans are always willing to sacrifice. That's a small sacrifice. Today, we're obviously talking about some folks that have made the ultimate sacrifice, but Americans never shy away from doing what they need to do for their fellow citizens that are in harm's way or in need. Mayor Pete, though, is not talking about science, is he? He's talking about respect. If you don't wear a mask, you're not being respectful. And what a remarkable comment that is on multiple levels, because not only is it detached from science, because his boss's own administration's telling us that we don't need to wear masks in most situations now to respect our fellow citizens, but how about the fact that are we supposed to wear them every flu season? Am I supposed to, when I walk into a supermarket, walk up to the PA system in the front of the store and ask them to make an announcement? And if anybody in here might be immunocompromised, would they like me to wear a mask? You think that I'm being ridiculous, but it's important to kind of tease these things out in your mind to recognize that they don't make any darn sense, folks. Respect. Once again, has nothing to do with science. If it did, we could have a conversation. We could have that dialogue that Paul Ryan was waxing on forever about a little while ago when we paid his clip. But we can't have that discussion. Yeah, it's about decency. It's about respect.
Decency.
It's about you conforming to whatever it is they want you to believe. And I ran into this weekend, Dom, myself. I mentioned earlier, to a few different stores with my family, and I was in a Trader Joe's. I wasn't masked. And one of the cashiers was going on and on, looking directly at me, but being passive aggressive and not directing her comments to me. She was talking to one of her colleagues about how, look at all these people in here with masks now. I bet they're all coming in and they're the unvaccinated folks. Which, by the way, she wasn't even right about me because myself and my wife were both vaccinated. We got our Fauci-ouchie. We did what we were supposed to do.
Hey, well, Matt, you had up on SaveJersey.com, and I had a whole week coming off this, so thank you, about this one outfit. It's the union employee types, and certainly federal with Mayor Pete. They say they may not be vaccinated, so you can't show up without the mask then. Well, it's on them to get vaccinated.
Well, right. I mean, what he's essentially saying is the Biden administration's own people aren't following the Biden administration science.
Exactly.
So what confidence should we have in it?
Right.
One wonders,
and again,
folks,
if you're vaccinated or otherwise, it's up to the workers to be vaccinated. If they're not, well, I don't think we have to conform to what they have chosen not to do.
It's really about choice. And this is something that Democrats and the far left love to talk about in certain contexts. Certainly for years, while we've had the abortion debate, we've heard that familiar phrase, my body, my choice. certainly if the COVID pandemic was at a point right now where it was like that movie with Dustin Hoffman, Outbreak,
yeah,
and there was something with a 99% kill rate that was, you know, coming at us through the HVAC systems of buildings, might be a different story. The Constitution's not a death pack, but that's not what we're dealing with at this point in time. And I think that anyone who wants to challenge the status quo on this point, you have to know to ask the right question. And the right question here is, if everything we're getting from Phil Murphy and Tom Wolf and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg is the gospel and should be obeyed unquestioningly, why are their own employees not following it?
Yeah,
that's
exactly
the question you
right.
need to ask this Memorial Day.
Right.
Folks,
and I think
we.
I'm sorry, Matt, go ahead.
No, my bad, Dom, my bad. You know, this is why I usually, when we're dancing, I let you lead because you're better at timing. But we're going to take a break. But when we get back, we've got a call. We've also got some more interesting things to go over, some more craziness from the left, and, of course, some more favorite patriotic movies. I think I got a couple more that I need to talk about because you can never have too many. 855-839-1210. Get in line. Join us. This is Matt Rooney on 1210 WPHT. Don't go anywhere.
Free speech lives here.
The Dom Giordano Program.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hello, folks. Welcome back on 1210 WPHT. Matt Rooney on the Dom Giordano Program. Having a great time on this beautiful Memorial Day 2021. Get in on today's conversation. Give me a shout. Say hello. 855-839-1210. Getting a ton more submissions via Twitter. I'm a social media guy with my website, SaveJersey.com, so my readers that are listening are tweeting away, and they're giving us their submissions for favorite patriotic movie. One that I think at least two readers have mentioned, and this is one that I don't really think of for Memorial Day because it's not an action war movie. They tend to dominate the genre, but what's more patriotic and stirring and important than Mr. Smith Goes to Washington? That Jimmy Stewart classic about one man's struggle when he gets the United States Senate against this corrupt apparatus from his home state. If you live in New Jersey or Philadelphia, that's certainly something you can relate to. And it's always been
try
one of
doing
my
that in Philadelphia time. City Council. See what they do to you there if you're Jimmy Stewart. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think poor Jimmy Stewart would have lasted 5 minutes.
No, exactly. You could rip up papers and all that. They fine you for littering if you're in there.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Another submission from Gary, The Longest Day.
Never seen that.
That's a classic.
Yep.
I is that longer than Gettysburg? I have to look that.
No, I think it's
that. I think it might be
2.5 hours. It might be a little over two.
Yeah. The Longest Day. It's ironic that the name is Longest Day. I just want to put that out there. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington's on HBO Max if anybody wants to check it out. I've never seen that one, so I might have to look it up.
Speaking of that, last night we neglected to mention The Glitch. Not that I'm a fan of that show, Dan, of something of Easttown. Oh, God.
Oh,
with their
yeah.
twist and all.
Well, don't spoil it because I'm going to watch it, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, apparently, though, there was an outage. I don't know if people thought that was part of the plot or something like Sopranos. I defend what they did going to black with the Sopranos. I thought that was a master stroke. Mm-hmm. You're the Jersey guy, Matt Rooney. What do you say?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, I thought it
and
was,
the Sopranos,
too.
Sopranos, yeah, because, it, you know, it, I actually think at some point the creator of The Sopranos gave an interview, and when he was talking about this issue, he actually laid into the fans a little bit in a friendly way. And
yeah,
what
David
he said
Chase.
Was,
yeah,
David Chase, he said, you know, you folks, after cheering on this mass murderer for years, now all of a sudden at the end want to see him get his just desserts on camera. It says more about the audience
yes.
than it does about the show, that we wanted to see Tony get shot in the head at the end of the series. But that's not really what it was about. I love what it's about. It's this idea that we followed this man for a time. It started in his therapist's office. It ended with him and his family having dinner. And it's Tony's life from here on out because of the life he's chosen. It's constant tension, constant look over your shoulder. And that wheel in the sky, that Journey classic, is just playing in the background because that's what happens for Tony. The wheel just keeps turning, and eventually he's going to get thrown off. So look, I'm a Jersey guy, folks. I can talk about The Sopranos forever.
Wait, that is at least three hours a day.
I like that. That's what he's saying. Exactly.
I take umbrage, though. It's not wheel in the sky. It's the life he's chosen.
Sopranos, not as good a Memorial Day pick.
I didn't have Matt in there. I'm sorry, Matt. You didn't hear me there. It's Don't Stop Believing, not Wheel in the Sky. Come on, man. You got to get that right.
What am I saying? Yeah. I'm going to cancel myself.
Matt's point, though, even though everything looks good now, the kids are doing well and all that, he's still looking over his shoulder and will be. That's a good take. It's subtle. It's not that he's killed there. Can we take a caller here? Let me get somebody in with a patriotic film. All right, Joseph, good Memorial Day. What's your film?
Good morning, Dom. My film is Victory at Sea.
Okay, tell us about why.
Well, it's about the Navy and the battles that they were engaged in.
Okay, fair. Yeah, that's a classic. It's a little bit older, but all right, Victory at Sea. Matt, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to give people a shot at getting a few people in.
No, that's an oldie, but that's a goodie. I think that was broadcast on NBC.
Okay.
Way back then. I don't even know if my parents were bored when that was broadcast. But that's a good one. And, again, not to beat this dead horse, but let's do it anyway. Can you imagine a major broadcast company in the United States voluntarily putting something like that on television in 2021? It would be dismissed as, patriotic propaganda.
Well, I have to say, though, PBS last night put on Gary Sinise and company, PBS from Washington. They were the only one except for Fox that did that big event. And Sinise is just an incredible guy. We told people to watch it. I'm not sure. Nobody's tweeted at me. I saw some of it. So PBS is usually as far left as you go, but they do that.
Yeah, I guess they know that Gary Sinise has a really big audience among a certain age demographic that's going to tune in and watch. So it's too good of television to turn down. But he's also one of these interesting, rare actors that's been able to be openly conservative but still have crossover appeal. As soon as they reveal their ideology, they get canceled, and that's the last you hear from them. They're never in another major motion picture or television show again. But Gary Sinise is still working. He's all over television.
Yeah.
God bless him.
I think he'd be even bigger, if not maybe. I just think the guy's a great actor, too. But after interviewing him a few times, absolutely. Should we take another one?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go to Andrew. Andrew's on Talk Radio 1210. What's that patriotic film, Andrew?
Good morning, Mr. Giordano. I hope you're doing well on this day of remembrance.
Thank you, Andrew.
Glory. When they put the flag up in the final charge at the end, and the music, it's tough not to well up.
It's a very underrated film, too.
Yeah, very underrated. Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Big Danny, coming out of the cheap seats. All right, fellas, have a great day.
Thank you, Andrew. Very good choice here on Talk Radio 1210. So, Matt, what else do we have that you'd like to get out on Memorial Day?
I'm stuck on Glory for a second because I don't know why that movie gets short shrift. Mm-hmm. It is really a magnificent movie. Maybe it's because in the late 80s there just weren't a lot of that movies. It wasn't what was popular at the time. But it's developed a following over the course of many years.
I think the film, and even I, look, many times it's gratuitous using profanity. The only one on TV that I know of that does that is Saving Private Ryan. And if you put it on network TV and you didn't do it, it really would be diminishing it as they storm the beaches of Normandy. That's a film that I think has pretty good crossover appeal.
I think Full Metal Jacket's the same kind of way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you play it on, broadcast TV, it just doesn't have the same kind of oomph to it as it would, with all the profanity and such.
Yeah, I don't know they dropped the F-bomb with Saving Private Ryan, but short of that, the carnage that goes on that beach, to me, that's the single biggest event. The audacity to storm that beach and be able to do it still is stunning to me.
Oh, I think that all the time. You know, a similar point is if you visit a Civil War or a Revolutionary War battlefield and you think about the fact that these guys march directly at one another.
Right.
Right in the line of fire. Not that it takes less bravery to run around in a jungle, for instance, but to just march directly at someone that's shooting at you and cannon fire. It's I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do it. It takes a certain level of guts that few people have. So all the respect in the world for those men who were able to do it.
Well, and they seem to have rules. Amazing. One side fires, and as they're reloading, the other side gets to fire at them without any interference.
I'm a huge Pawn Stars nerd, and occasionally they get, like, the old muskets from back then. Mm-hmm. And like, just I can't imagine the single-fire muskets marching towards a cannon with a single-fire musket. It's a death wish. And just putting your life on the line for these kinds of things is just incredible. It really is.
All right, we'll have more coming up with Matt, Dan, and Dom here on Memorial Day. We'd love to hear from you at 855-839-1210. All right, Dan strikes back, Matt. You make a wrong reference in The Sopranos. And you see what happens. He plays Journey. All right. Dom Giordano Show.
I think I just lost half my leadership.
There you go. Dom Giordano Show. Matt Rooney co-hosting and Dan, too, here. It's a lot on a holiday, but thank you so much for joining us. Here's the tweet of the day from Maxine Waters. Wars are costly in dollars and cents. Okay. But more costly in the loss of human lives. Okay. Today we honor and give thanks to those who made the ultimate sacrifice. But say no thanks to more wars. As we think future, let's think peace. Look, everybody agrees with that, but is this the day that met to the point I think you made a couple times a day and can be made again and again and again? Today's not the day to glom on and to pivot. Just stay. Or why is it so hard to stay on the one subject? Today's the day we honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Everybody wants to pivot social media or in every other way. And I think that's the point you were making earlier on, right?
Yeah. And I mean, look, let's give Maxine, I guess, a little bit of credit, because unlike our vice president, Kamala Harris, she was actually talking about Memorial Day. So I guess you get some points. It's like when you take a test in school and you get partial credit for putting down some of the answer. All right, we're talking about Memorial Day. Kamala Harris is talking about a long weekend. Bully for you. But ultimately, I do think that this point cannot be underemphasized. This used to be one of those holidays in America that was a unifying experience, Dom, because mm-hmm. regardless of what you thought about a particular war, whether it made sense, whether it didn't make sense, the current president of the United States, the former president of the United States, abortion, taxes, whatever, everyone could agree that this is the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's why some of the greatest men and women in the history of our planet have laid their lives on the line to defend it and make sure that she survives into another century and continues to be free and prosperous. And that you should set your nonsense aside for 24 hours to appreciate that and celebrate these folks. Because, you know, you watch a movie like Saving Private Ryan that we've talked about today, which depicts some very real, very harsh, very ugly stuff that our men and women have had to experience over the course of the years. Those men that died on those beaches, they weren't doing that so Republicans could have free speech or Democrats could have free speech.
Exactly.
So, Maxine, shelve it, please, for just one day and appreciate the fact that, you know, whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, we all have the same color blood that runs through our bloodstream. And it's all American blood.
And I think
it should all be honored.
This holiday more than the others. Look, maybe I've done it myself. I know some people with mentioning veterans on this day versus those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Same ballpark, I think. But these other pivots that people use, particularly this is the holiday that we see the most of it. Let me squeeze Chris in here with Dom on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Chris, good morning. Go right ahead.
Yes, with the weather nice today, I would encourage people to visit the Freedoms Foundation at Valley Forge. The nature trail in the back has, starting with the Civil War, every recipient of the Medal of Honor killed in battle is denoted on a trail.
Yeah, it is a iconic place. I agree with you very, very much. What's the patriotic?
Yes.
Yep. What's a patriotic film, Chris?
The other John Wayne movie, The Green Berets.
All right. So the committee has to meet. We do have a committee today, Dan, because one name goes into the hat. Then we pick up tomorrow again for the $50 gift certificate to Captain Chuckie's at the end of the week. What's the patriotic film that you like today?
So we had a couple that weren't able to make it on air today. We'll count them just for Memorial Day.
Okay.
It's a holiday. So we had The Green Berets, Glory, Victory at Sea. Band of Brothers is a series, but a great series, great patriotic series. Born on the 4th of July, Hacksaw Ridge, the Sands of Iwo Jima. I really personally like, I think it's an underrated film. We all had a discussion about it. I like Glory. I think Glory might be it today. Matt?
Yeah, Matt, what do you say?
I'm sympathetic to that because that's a film that just doesn't get appreciated enough. Although, I'm a big John Wayne fan, and a lot of people don't remember this about the Green Berets. That's just not a John Wayne film that he acted in. That was also directed by the late, great John Wayne. So that's
I think
a
he
great
funded
piece
it
of Americana.
Too. I think he funded it, produced it probably,
I did
too.
I know
yeah.
that. Did not
it was
probably.
A very different yes. time in this right. country when you had men like John Wayne in Hollywood.
All right, so Glory gets my vote, too. We'll put that name into the hat, Dan, for tomorrow.
Andrew and Chestnut Hill.
Very good. Now we have a special 11 o'clock hour coming up. We put together some of our biggest, most beloved around the issue of patriotism, Memorial Day. We kick it off with Lee Greenwood. I don't know. If I had to choose between Greenwood and Sinise, I'm not choosing. I'm running away from that. And Matt, you're headed off from the nursery to the barbecue, right?
I'm going to head right downstairs. I'm going to make sure my chicken that's marinating is on the right course. And then it's probably back to the butcher shop. I might just park there for the rest of the afternoon. It's my favorite
All
place.
Right. And Dan is going to be an intense air-conditioned work today for the Dom Giordano show. Right, Dan?
A lot of laying around and doing nothing.
All right. Well, then we have many, many projects to do. Thanks to everyone who listened today. Big 11 o'clock hour. We put together a best of some of our best. And, Matt, thank you, and you'll be back with us the weekend show coming up. I look forward to that. And I look forward to your emails and tweets. Yeah, Lee Greenwood taking us out. Thanks to all those that gave us a tip today of ways to blend this holiday, to have a barbecue, but also to remember. That's what it's about. Not pivoting to glamorous pictures on Twitter or Maxine Waters or anything else. It's direct, it's sacred, it's solemn, and we wouldn't be doing this without the people that we think about today. Follow on Twitter until tomorrow. We kick it off again, 9 until noon with Dom and Dan at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210. Coming up, Dan has put this together, a very special hour, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
To the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.